we're built for a relationship, but it's not just for our own selfish benefit. It's because we learn better. We grow more, faster. I mean, I got to tell you, when I'm in Bible study, I'm always in a growth place. When Bible study breaks for the summer, I feel like someone pushed the car into neutral. Because when I'm out of that corporate community environment where right. I'm being challenged and transformed because of the words out of somebody else's mouth, I just didn't want to miss that. Don't miss it when you have it to offer, and don't miss it when you can go get it. Be in fellowship. Hi, this is Holly, and welcome to Study with Friends. Each week at this time, we're here to study God's Word with you and with each other. We're a group of women who love God's Word and God's people. This week, I'm here with my friends Romy and Jan, and we're looking at Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24, which teaches us how to put off the old self. Today, you'll hear just one part of the time we spent together on this scripture. So visit studywithfriends.org to hear the whole conversation. At the bottom of the homepage, you'll see a search box. Enter the words put off to find the page with all the broadcasts in this series and also the discussion guide we used to help us unpack it together. We're having a great time learning from God and from each other. I hope you find something today that's helpful to you. Let's get started. What is the difference between having your own mind and being of the same mind with others? What's the difference?
It's a kind of fellowship.
That's right.
It's, yeah, so you're in this perpetual fellowship.
Mm-hmm. Which actually we talked about at the beginning of the recording, about the diversity of women who come to this ministry and study the Bible with us, but yet we are of one mind.
Right.
We might have different doctrines, different denominations. We might have different socioeconomic, ethnic statuses, but we are of one mind. So what that means is we agree through Jesus Christ. We agree. Isn't that beautiful? Have you met? By the way, you two were like, I think I met you before, but there's an intimacy here. So many times people have come around this table and they've never met. And you leave this table feeling like lifelong friends.
Right.
You're like, that's my girlfriend.
Right. That's so true.
I could call her. I could text her. She would pray with me right now. Right. That is having one mind. How we accomplish that is through study together. Right. You can accomplish that through worship together. I think what we're doing right now creates it in the most intimate way. When I grapple with things, when I share with you, when I'm transparent with you about my struggles and how God's teaching me this, but I'm fighting and I'm not getting it and I'm messing it up, there's a vulnerability there, a transparency there that creates intimacy around one mind, which is to be more towards Christ.
Right.
And so I didn't want to miss that. Okay. So I want to unpack that just a little bit. And I want to talk about how those things influence each other. Tell me how it has influenced you, even in this time today with each other, if it has, that we've shared our differences and our different perspectives, and each of you is like, well, actually, I looked at that in a different way. How do those two things influence each other? If I have my own mind, which is I want to be towards Christ, then I also have a common, same mind with you. Does that edify you? Does that help you grow? Tell me a little bit about that. Oops.
Well, I like what Jan said about fellowship and connection. I think of it almost from a fulfillment piece. Mm. I think there's something in the Bible that says fellowship among other Christians, mm-hmm. and I think there's a lot about that, actually.
There is a lot about that.
So it's a fulfillment of your spirit, really, and your soul when you can connect with others that are of like mind and grapple with things that are in a loving way. I mean, you could take a completely different example and talk about something, you know, the big bad P word, politics, right? Mm-hmm. And anger comes out of that, and you know, frustration, and why doesn't that person see it my way, and division and ugliness, right? Mm-hmm. But when you bring it to the mind of Christ, it takes on, for me, a different level of love. Mm. That's more about, you know, doing something in fellowship together and trying to be more like Christ, like learning from one another. It's it's almost like a common goal you have with somebody you've never met before, but we're in this thing together.
Yes.
Let's learn from each other, and I'm going to help you and you're going to help me. And how'd you think of it? And this is how I thought of it. And it's fulfilling.
It is fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. Would it be too great of a leap for me to say, and tell me if it is, that part of the transformation of my mind that God is talking about in Romans 12 too comes from my exchange of ideas with others?
No, I think that's part of it.
I
think it's a leap. I
think it's a critical part, honest. If I'm transformed and renewed in my mind, how do those things come? Yes, they come by my personal study in the Word, but corporate fellowship, coffee with my girlfriend, grappling with a problem and trying to see it through God's eyes, listening to my pastor, doing a Bible study together, listening to other people's take what the Holy Spirit gave them out of that passage, because God's Word is living and active. So I get something different than what you get, and they're both true.
Is that how iron sharpens iron?
Yes.
So we replenish each other.
And the transformation.
Yes.
So, okay, that's a great example. Hadn't thought of it. Thank you for bringing it. Iron sharpens iron. We're sharper. That's a transformation from dull to sharp. That's a change. That's a transformation. And it happens because of a catalyst. Something else had to be there. Iron can't sharpen itself. You see what I'm saying? So when we talk, we spend a lot of time talking about putting off the old self, putting on the new self, being of a transformation of our mind. And I just want to bring in one more element, which is how we do that in corporate life. Corporate being community life, the church. Oh, you're Romy, you're so right. All over the Bible, it says, be with other believers. Let us, in Hebrews, it says, let us not give up meeting together.
Right.
Mm. And all over, they broke bread together and had fellowship. And of course, we're built for relationship. That's what God built us, you know, and it's one of the beautiful things that we see in the Trinity, that we are all created for relationship, but it's not just for our own selfish benefit. It's because we learn better. We grow more faster. I mean, I got to tell you, when I'm in Bible study, I'm always in a growth place. When Bible study breaks for the summer, I feel like someone pushed the car into neutral.
Yeah.
And my foot's still on the gas, but now I ain't going anywhere.
Same.
Because when I'm out of that corporate community environment where I'm being challenged and transformed because of the words out of somebody else's mouth, I just didn't want to miss that. Don't miss it when you have it to offer, and don't miss it when you can go get it. Be in fellowship. It's one of the reasons that I love this ministry. It's different than what you hear on other podcasts and other radio programs. Other podcasts and other radio programs are one dude or one woman telling you how you should live your life. You and I are sitting here figuring it out together. And it's better. It's better, I think. I'm not trying to dog out, because Lord knows all those pastors, I love them. I listen to that all day long. I listen to it all day long because part of my transformation comes from that weird fellowship that I have with a pastor I've never met, but I listen to him every day.
Right.
So it's the same thing.
Sure.
Just here it's more give and take. There it's more take.
Right.
But it's a human helping my mind be transformed by his words, God's grace. So I just wanted to pull that out because I think it really matters. The next question I ask is, what's the common idea in Philippians 2, 3, and 4? Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Don't look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Don't only look to your own interests. And then Romans 3, we just talked about. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but with sober judgment, according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. What did you think is the common idea between those two passages? Did you write anything in your notes?
I get self out of the way.
And put what instead?
Others.
That's what I had. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's connected. So if we tie Ephesians, yeah, putting off the old self and putting on the new self, and Romans being transformed and not thinking more highly of ourselves, and now Philippians, where we find this applied in community, then we think of others before ourselves. So I might not want to tell that story, but if I think it's going to help you, I'm going to tell it, even though it's embarrassing or painful, or I have a transparency or a vulnerability that I have to expose by telling you that story. Mm-hmm. That's an example of me thinking more of you than myself. Could I protect myself and my image by not sharing this story of my struggle? Yes. Or I could put myself on the altar. I could put off my old self, which is self-involved. Mm-hmm. And thinking of you first, thinking of others first, I could say, I'm going to tell you this story because I think it could help you. That's an example of how that looks, but there are a million examples of how it looks when we truly do take off the old self and put on the new self. We are automatically more inclined towards the needs of others more than ourselves, because self is diminished.
Yes. I think about the cycle you described earlier when you were talking about the cycle of
trust and obey.
Trust and obedience. So you will share yourself, intimate things with yourself, if it's useful to someone else.
Right.
Because you are being obedient, mm-hmm, and you trust him, mm-hmm, to guide you through it, and you know that it's safe to do it because they need it from you.
Yeah. And on a community level, it may surprise you, but my nature, I'm a very private person. Now, that is ridiculous for me to say when I know we're on the air. I just calculated the reach of all the stations that we're on. It's not saying this many people listen to us, because we know not every household in the reach of a Christian station will listen. But the reach of the stations we're on is 30 million people. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when I say to you I'm a private person, that makes no sense, because I'm putting all my life out here on this. But I'm doing it because myself, by God's grace, gets pushed aside. What I would prefer, which is to live my life out privately, doesn't matter, because I'm so filled with the Spirit that I don't, as a living sacrifice that's burned up, and I actually am enthusiastic to share. It's in the same way that I said to you guys before, God changed my heart about things. He changed me into what he needed me to be. Didn't matter that I felt like I would rather live my life out in a private way. He was like, I have something better. Let's do my thing instead. Mm. But you know, does that shock you when I say I'm a private person? Because I've become a transparent person through the ministry to me and through me of Study with Friends. But prior to that, I was very private, very reluctant to share my own struggles. That's pride. Mm. But God set that aside through his grace. He sets that aside and he says, don't worry about how you're going to look. Let them look at me, God says. And I'm like, right, let's do that. And not only I'm not just okay with it, I'm juiced for it. You know what I mean? That's a heart change.
Totally. Yeah.
So I think of others, when he can empty me out, I think, others, let's go do this thing, God. Do your thing. And then I'm humbled by the fact that he would choose me to do that. Mm. So it's a whole heart change. I'm like, yes, I can't believe you would choose me to do that. Such a mess. I'm such a mess. But if you would choose me, again, from my face, I say, if you would choose me, send me. I'll tell all my business, which is very not what I would have been inclined to do. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a heart change. I could give you 1,000 examples, but I want you guys to think about examples. Just think about examples about how emptying myself out, being transformed in my mind, putting off old self and putting on new self, how does that play out in the community of believers and non-believers in such a way that their minds are transformed and they're able to put off their old selves? You see how it's symbiotic?
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Returning to our core verse, Ephesians 4:22-24, what is the promise embedded in verse 24?
Righteousness and holiness.
But what's your word, Jan? Is it just plain old righteousness and holiness?
True
righteousness and holiness. Who's responsible to fulfill that promise?
He is.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's critical, guys. We can't talk about putting off the old self, especially because the wording in Romans 12:2 is easier for us to process rightly, because it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I lifted that up and I said, it doesn't say transform yourself. But the problem with the Ephesians wording is it says put on and put off, which does imply we have the action to do, which we do. Let me be clear. In both verses, there's an agreement between ourselves and our Savior. There's a component that we bring to it, and there's a component that he brings to it. But at the end of the day, it's his responsibility to create true righteousness and holiness in us. It's not our responsibility. We can't do it. What we can do, what is our responsibility, is what? That word you love so much.
Obedience?
Yes. So that's the response.
Yeah, right.
So let's just wrap up. Tell me, what are some ways that Ephesians 4:22, putting off the old self, how is that encouraging to you? And how can you live into it each day?
My biggest takeaway, and this is for me personally, was how I often overlook, when you so clearly pointed out to me that the more important half of it is allowing God to transform your heart and let him do the work. And not worry so much or think so much about mechanically how you're going to do that, but how you're going to really get true to your heart place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the difference between a behavior modification program that you manage.
Right.
And a heart
transformation.
Mm-hmm. That only God can manage.
Yeah.
There is a teacher that I just discovered, and it's a great visual, so I'll share it, of what you're talking about. He says, I planted an apple tree. I couldn't get it to produce good fruit. And every season, the apples would come and they were just rotten from the beginning. I tried pruning the tree and I tried cultivating it and I tried giving it better soil and I tried watering the tree, and nothing I did could change the fruit. So then I would just tear all the fruit off and pretend that bad fruit wasn't coming. And then if maybe nobody saw that the apple was making rotten fruit, then I wouldn't have to be embarrassed that I couldn't make an apple tree with good fruit. Mm. And he said, then one morning I woke up and I said, I know what I'll do. And I went to the store and I bought 2 bushels of apples, and I got my ladder out and I stapled good apples to the tree. And I looked at that tree and I said, thou the tree has good fruit. And he said, now where in your life are you stapling apples? Where are you apple stapling? And I thought, that is a great example.
It really is.
Because if I'm stapling apples to a rotten tree, I'm trying to show the world that there are good apples on that tree, but the truth is there are not. The only thing that can create good apples is inside that tree.
Right. Right.
And something has to change inside the tree. And if the tree is diseased, it will never produce good fruit. But a master gardener can come in and fix that tree and cause it to create brand new fruit. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to be fake. God can change me from the inside. And if a fruit tree is healthy, Romy, does it worry about the how of the apple?
It just naturally happens.
It just makes the apple.
Yeah.
I got to think of the guy who said it. I can't think of his name. I think it's Paul David Tripp.
I like
with a killer mustache. Google him.
Yeah.
He's got a crazy mustache, but it's a great analogy. I want the world to, especially because now I have this ministry. Mm-hmm. Of course I want people to think I'm getting it right. Because then what? Then I feel this ridiculous burden of not embarrassing God. Mm-hmm. Hey, Holly, you're actually not wanting to embarrass yourself. So you're trying to staple apples in the middle of the night when no one can see, not because you are worried about God's image. God's image is pretty well set.
Right.
You're worried about your image. What else do we want to take out of this? Are you encouraged by that?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, that's...
I'm encouraged by that. I'm only discouraged when I think it's up to me. It's the only time I'm truly discouraged, when I think I've done something I shouldn't or I'm getting it wrong. At the root of that is I think it's up to me. That's the only time I'm discouraged. I am encouraged when I know it's up to God, because I know he's big enough. He's able. I'm really encouraged by that. And how I live into it each day is I just let him do it.
Let him do it, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's another story that says, it's the same idea. Grapes don't grunt. Did you ever hear that expression?
No.
Okay, so grapes don't grunt.
So they don't.
They don't try to be grapes, right? Because yeah, yeah. This is the, I'm the vine and you're the branches.
Right, yeah. Right.
So they don't have to try to be grapes.
Yeah.
They don't grunt. They're not like, grapiness. They don't.
Yeah.
We do. We grunt out our Christian life, but we don't have to. We just have to stay connected to the vine. Grapes don't grunt.
That's really good.
That's good. This Ephesians, it reminds you that the world has nothing to offer you.
Mm.
Nothing to offer you. And so for the Christian that's walking that line, feeling not so sure of himself,
mm-hmm.
should be reminded that the world has nothing to offer you.
And encouraged.
To be encouraged.
Be encouraged. Because the world is lost and broken. And
isn't that the truth?
But take courage, because Jesus says, I have overcome the world.
That's right.
Right. Mm. That's so great.
All right, let's end on that. Praise you, Lord. You have overcome the world, and you have overcome ourselves in our transformation, our salvation experience, Lord. You cloaked us in your righteousness and your identity. And Lord, we do get to be grunty grapes trying to figure out how to make sure we're living into that every day, and we forget it's not up to us to live into it. You will feed us and nourish us, and naturally beautiful, whole, healthy fruit will result. Help us, Lord, to take off the old self and put on the new self. Lord, help us to be a living sacrifice. Put old self on this sacrificial altar and put it on and worship to you, Lord, to glorify you. So that in our lives and through our lives, we can show the testimony of transformation. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony of transformation. And thank you, Lord, that we are called to live in community as even as you transform us. What a blessing, God, that you call us to be a witness even while we're a mess. Thank you, Lord. How incredible you are to use broken vessels like we are. And we are humbled. We are thankful, and we love you. We lift it all up in your name and for your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Hi, it's Holly again. What an incredible gift we have to study together and with you today. I'm so thankful for the ways that God's Word helps me to know Him and to know myself better. I hope you felt that gift during your time with us today. We're a weekly Bible study just like you find at your local church. If you're not involved in a study like this, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every situation. In Matthew 10, as Jesus was sending out his disciples to preach the word, he instructed them with this command, "Freely you have received, freely give." We think that applies to us too. So we've created many resources for you on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you miss any part of this program or you want to hear it again, you can visit us there and listen free and on demand. Or you can look for other Bible studies, all of which are free to use and print. studywithfriends.org. Just like those disciples who relied on the generosity of a host for food and shelter, we are also 100% donor supported. So if you are particularly blessed by one of the resources we work hard to provide, please consider a donation of any amount. A monthly partnership is especially helpful, and no amount is too small. We send quarterly gifts to our monthly partners to say thank you. Resources like a pocket Bible or a prayer book or a daily devotional. You can donate one time or become a monthly partner at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We also love to hear from you via email at info@studywithfriends.org.
That's always a huge encouragement to us. So please don't hesitate to write if you have the inclination. See you next time. We study with friends.